Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, one creator who's created everything, Khalaqo Kulli Shay, creator of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created our earth, what we see, the air we breathe, our own selves to enjoy the environment that we have, our sensory system. And we witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon the Prophet, who's the model human being, the model example. Allah says, for any whose hope is in seeing their Lord in the future, you have in Prophet Muhammad an excellent model, an excellent example of conduct. So we value that model human person who lived a balanced life as an example of how human beings could live, and introduce the idea of shared freedom spaces. Our Imam Muhammad pointed it out in language, but it was introduced in Medina Munawwara, the city of enlightenment, the city of enlightenment, where it illuminated. It illuminated a picture to the human family, and it's an example there now, the first charter for governing diverse populations, persons of different religions, different cultural influences, different ages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, colors included. A diverse a charter that respected diversity and the need to be flexible in how diversity is viewed and lived. So, yes, our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, over 1,400 years ago, and that document is still available. And, you know, we are in a governmental period here where we are making choices about how to vote, how to do this, how to do that. We should study the example of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and how he met the challenges of diversity and making choices, et cetera. You know, and we are talking about we've been talking about having the seeing the big picture. And in terms of government, we focused on government. And also we want to focus on how that has to be seen in the social context in terms of culture. Those four essentials we talk about that the Imam shared with us, that we are, and we make no mistake, we are working on a philosophy for life. We are trying to develop language that will aid us in living a great life in this diverse society called America, Western culture. Welcome, everyone. Peace and blessings be upon to you all. Hope you're being blessed. And we have our panel ready here, Professor Rabbani Muhammad and Michael Hameen. And salam alaikum to both of you. And we're going to circle to the professor to share some thoughts on this topic. And, you know, and I wanted to actually, as we are discussing this, visualize for the audience and for ourselves as well, visualize how this, how this creating the proper spirit to move ahead. That's what we were talking about when we on this program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty. We're not talking about having so much money or having this or having that, but having the right disposition to be successful with meeting challenges that will maybe hinder you from making progress. So, Professor, share some thoughts with us, please.
Okay, thank you. Assalamu alaikum. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Be witness that there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah, the one, the only, having no partners, associates. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed from 1,450 years ago or so, is the seal of the prophets, God's messenger, and the last prophet has to be sent to mankind, not for the Arabs, Africans, or the Europeans, or the Asians, or the Mongolians, or the people of various ethnic and religious groups. He was sent for all mankind, for all people who think they have religion and think they have the answer to every question for mankind, the intellectual, the prognosticators, and all those who have this yearning for notoriety. We thank Allah for our leadership and our community that helped guided us to this language and to the guidance that God has provided for Allah, that has provided us with, that gave us a clear guidance. And that right there should motivate the believers. And I mean believers in all who believe in one God and establish regular prayer and work righteous good deeds. That should motivate us. But why should it motivate us? Because look at the condition of the world. If you love Allah, we were just not placed in this world to have the cardinal pleasures or the intellectual discourse to entertain or to be in sport and play. We're here to deliver the message that God, Allah, has given the prophets from Adam to Muhammad. Deliver that to the people who are in need. The people that we're talking about people, what we refer to as the orphans of religion, those who have no leadership, no following other than a leadership that would cause them harm. If you have a problem, if you think the community is not doing, is not motivating, that is not developing quick enough, go out. Leave the elevator and go out into the building. Go out into the world. You'll see, and you can apply everything. You think you don't know any, you don't think you know much of what we've been taught. Go out, and you'll see. Not the one of the things that I really love is being around Muslims who are believers, because the only thing we are interested in is establishing this religion and following the footsteps of Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, his life, because he was referred to as a walking Quran, a living Quran, the application of the Quran, the revelation that God has given mankind, and he shows us how we should conduct ourselves in the world at all times. And it doesn't matter what year and date or day it is. It gives us, as the imam at the masjid here in Charlotte said last night, Islamic discipline. Islamic discipline. And for you to achieve any success, you have to have discipline. And the best discipline is Islamic discipline. And it was a very beautiful khutbah that Imam Nasif Majid gave at the masjid yesterday to wake us up to our motivations and our desire and our true desires to want to meet the challenge.
Yes.
So that's what we're talking about on this subject this morning.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Appreciate that, Professor, for sharing with us that valuable information. Michael, please welcome and top of the morning to you and all those good things. Please share some thoughts on us and
a bright awakening.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. I've got two issues. One is a study of the Quran that I'm aware that the institution led by Imam Salim Movement, Mali, the Mali Institute, and the members of the institute are practicing what is identified in English as reflections, and they're writing these reflections on different ayats. I'm in a study. The instructor is Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman out of Atlanta, and he's teaching this course on tafsir and this word tadabbur, tadabbur. Tadabbur of the Quran. It means, and I Googled this, it means contemplation of its meaning, purposes, and rulings, not just recitation. And while explaining this, One Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on him, said, nothing is more beneficial to the servant in his life. Okay, I'm going to stop there. This is a rendering of the Quran by Imam Wahdeen Muhammad. I was looking for it to share in the last program hour. It begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Attention, you people. Reverence your Lord, the one who created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and caused it to spread forth from both of them, males many and females, and reverence Allah, the one whom you involve, asking one another to respond. And be regardful of female entrusted ties of relationships. Surely, without doubt, at all times, Allah is watching over you all. And this is a translation by Imam Muhammad of Surah An-Nisa, the first ayat. And I'll stop with that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Very powerful. Very powerful. You know, our prophet, we were talking about him living the example. You know, there's a report that said, if you love Allah, then follow me. You know, and we were listening to the tape earlier, and the imam was talking about love for Allah, developing love for Allah, and cultivating a spiritual life, where we are trusting Allah to bring even the invisible forces to bear on situations we have in our life. How important it is that to have a live a life of purity, where you can be in touch with Allah and the hidden forces. You know, there's a hadith to that effect, where the prophet said that. When Allah loves a person, he says to the angels, I love such and such a person. And I'm paraphrasing this hadith. And then the angels said to each other, they say, Allah loves such and such, so we love them. And then the angels, he said, they tell the earth, they tell their things in their charge. Basically, Allah loves such and such a person, so you love him. And then the story goes that the whole earth responds with a welcoming environment to that person. So two things at play here. In Surah Fajr, the dawn, Allah talks about the soul at peace, nafsin mutmainna, the soul at rest. And it's in the language given, it says, O soul, pleasing to yourself and pleasing to your Lord, enter my garden, yea, enter my paradise. So here we are looking at a soul that's pleasing to itself. You know, I'm reminded of Michael Jackson's song, I'm talking to the man in the mirror. I'm trying to get him to change his ways, right? You know, here we are called up, as like you were mentioning, Professor, that a disciplined life. We are called to look at our own life, and when we are expressing or thinking or talking, we have to be living. We have to be living what we are talking by examining our own faults. You know, how do we improve our life so that we are pleasing to ourselves? When we looking at, you know, I like this person I have to live with, you know, because you have to live with yourself. You don't have to live with anybody else, but you have to live with yourself. And you have to like that person. And then now once you reach that stage where this person is conforming to what Allah wants, you're pleasing Allah and you're pleasing yourself, and now you're pleasing your Lord, because Allah is pleased that you are obeying him and worshiping him as he should be feared and respected and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is important. This is very important when we, if we want to develop the proper spirit for success, that we actually work on improving our own relationship with our Creator, but first be aware of what our Creator wants from us. Now, this is important. This is important. Now we have to have knowledge. We have to be aware of what the religion requires of us, and also how to live it, and have and be committed to live it, and that commitment to be obedience, devotion to obedience. That's the salah, the making the prayers, etc. Devotional obedience. And these are the things that gets us closer to our Lord. I'll go ahead, Professor, share some thinking on that. If
you... Yes, Rob. I think, like you said, one of the things that you how Allah loves you is that you have shown appreciation and gratitude for the blessings that He has bestowed upon you, sometimes people look for more and more and more. Well, I don't have this, and maybe I don't have that and that. But look at the less apparent items, like your health, your knowledge, the wealth that He bestowed upon you, and what you do. You're going to have to when you go out and you compare what you have and what Allah has blessed you with those who don't have those types of things, whether it's material or spiritual or intellectual, education-wise, it demands that you share the blessings that Allah has blessed you with. And when you share, you give that form of zakat that allows you to follow the principles, the five principles that we have, and that principle of zakat tells the Creator that you follow la ilaha illallah, number one, and that you are prescribing to prayer because you're thinking and reflecting on how does Allah sees me, and how can I do better to better my life for myself and for my family and for my community. Now, when people are complaining about progress, if you just apply that discipline, and that's just three out of the five, the zakat and the fasting and the hajj, that, you know, the fasting comes around, you know, once a year. The hajj, once in a lifetime. But the others, every day. Every day, five times a day, sometimes six times a day, pray. And you can share the value of the blessings that Allah has blessed you with, the knowledge and the wealth that you receive. And it makes a great difference. And then leave out from where you feel comfortable. Go out where you there's a battle going on in the minds and the hearts of the people, and challenge them, like the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. In this day and time where we're having the elected officials, you have to determine. Look, what is the best? Who would be the best person to lead me if I didn't know the way on the path? Who would be the best person? Who would be the worst person? And you have to make a choice. That's because we have a society that's built on the Quran. The Constitution is built on the Quran. So we have to engage it and make and understand how we can use that basis to develop the community life that we need in order to excel and make contributions and successes.
Yes. Oh. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Professor. As you were speaking, I was thinking about when you were talking about this society being based on the Quran and, on faith in God. You know, we in God we trust, on the money, right? And also we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. You know, this language, such powerful language of a creator, and that's another valuable point for those who may be of different denominations thinking they are the best. We are all part of creation from Adam, one creation, one soul, one purpose, as we read earlier, Michael, you read earlier, Nefsim Wahida, one soul we are created from. The soul is, but it expresses itself in gender terms, in terms of female and male, but it's one essence, one human essence. So, Michael, share some thoughts with us, if you will. I'm going to circle back to Surah Shams. I want to point out something there, but go ahead, Michael, please. Take yourself off mute, Michael, if you're on mute, please.
Yes, I do have a brief comment, but there are three callers lined up.
Oh, wow.
So we want to go to those?
Yeah, go ahead if you're willing to sacrifice yourself for that.
Yes, sir.
State your name and where you're calling from. We want to hear from you. Please stay on topic. Go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out what the topic was.
So you're not listening now.
Yeah, I'm listening, but I'm writing at the same time. So let me see. Here we go. Utilizing creation for our growth. Whatever's in our soul, we must stop aborting our brain before we reach maturity. Being ethical, scientifically getting the things we need, spiritual and material working in harmony, man carrying the burden of responsibility, taking care of the family, having a partnership with other family, collectively getting the things they need, servicing their community. Growing up in America as a human being, reading the Quran must be seen, knowing Adam as a developer, female and male working together as one soul, our lives are better. Knowing God exists, seeing his handiwork, sharing with others, helping us avoid certain. Our mind can't capture the whole of God's creation, interfaith, productive propagation, guaranteed salvation. Most suffering and confusion after election. The last day for achievement in society is the political order. Believers in God working well together. Our family and unity, taking care of other social needs. We need man repentance and his love. This is needed to grow life. We don't need to be tough. Hardness won't do it. Let's be merciful and trust. Our service is bigger than the universe. Mutual consultation, just keep God first. Muhammad is the leader for all levels and a political leader also. This brings peace to the believer's soul. Keep sharing and living what we know. As-salamu alaykum.
You tore it up there, Bilal. You hit it. You had it all together, my brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Praise be to Allah.
You capitalized that.
I got your book. I got your book. I'm getting from that book you're selling, Education of Sacred Matter. I'm getting it from that book.
Revised edition to everyone who think you have
it.
He has added a couple of chapters to that and revised it. So it's a very nice book. Very nice. So let's go to our next caller. So Bilal, press one. Michael gonna send you out. You can come back in later if you like.
773-449. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. Sister Amir Muhammad Shahi from Chicago. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. I tell you, brothers, this conversation so resonates with the spirit. I tell you, it's a conversation that believers can carry through their life because it's to the soul, the very fiber of the soul. It transforms us. It makes us even more willing to be obedient to Allah.
Yes,
because that is the key to being a believer. And it's just so much what you all have said. And we have some experience in that life when Allah sent his angels into our life. And it's like a magic when they show up. And we know they're there. We know Allah is with us. And all he asks for is our total obedience. It's nothing. Yes. It's nothing to ponder about. It's evident. It's evident. And you brought so much to that it makes a Muslim just say, I don't have to do that but surrender to the will of Allah.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Move sight. And move in life. I'm just so touched by this conversation. I just had to make a comment.
We appreciate you, Amir. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless both of y'all, and it's a radio station that brings us this kind of.
Pray for this station. Do that. Make sure we pray for this media because it's very valuable to us. Thank you.
Yes.
And we need to make that financial contribution too because the media it needs to be supported. Really needs support. Thank you, Sister Mira.
You got my support. You got my support. Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
We've got, caller. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
No, go ahead. Let's get our call. I can chime in. But I was just so touched. You know, I was thinking about what Sister Mira said. And for me, you know, I had to put pressure on myself, pray, and ask Allah to help me love Allah. Help me love you, Allah. Help me to learn to love you, you know. You come from this cold, callous society where the idea of love and appreciation and respect is dumbed down. What you mentioned earlier in the program, where the Satan, he tries to create something similar to what Allah has created, and then you'll be off on a different path, mistaking what is love from some kind of trick or something that's being pulled on you. So, you know, you have to purify your intentions, purify your focus, purify your what Allah wants from you to love Allah and His Messenger. Those are two things we are asked to do. So let's go to our caller.
Yes, caller 706. Welcome. State your name. Where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way, Georgia. Thank Allah
welcome.
For y'all.
Welcome, Prophet Muhammad.
Like Imam Muhammad said, you know, thank be it will start small. And also he has told us this is the day of religion. And this trial that we're going through right now, inshallah, could it mean that the God-conscious people of America can now establish an independent platform that could operate inside the belly of this beast and be successful? We know the Republicans have had their opportunity. The people tried to govern this country by the people that we call democracy, and it's all corrupt. So I think it's time, the reason why Shaitan thought he could slow us down by establishing the separation of state and church, now it's time for the church, using that language, translation language, or it's time for the God-conscious people to come together and see if we can establish a better pattern of life here in the United States of America, so that we can receive that big favor of God blessing America to be a moralistic society of human beings who want for them brothers and sisters what they want for themselves. Establish this on the local level. We got 2 years to establish the mayoral run, and we got 2 years to also put a call out to Shura, to the God-conscious people of America, and ask them, is it time for the church? The state has proved that it cannot run this country. It has driven this country all the way down to something other than a human being, you know, and has carried human nature and human character all the way down to the worst, lowest of the lows, like Allah has warned them. But now it's time for the church. It's time for the separation that we accepted for all these years of growth. It's time for you now to see if the church, the God-conscious people, to continue our growth, reverse our growth back to the right way and make the effort to go toward the Qibla of truth, freedom, justice, and equality on all walks of life, given the transitional time to do it so that we will not oppress or do the same thing that those who came before us in the Democratic and the Republican concept of what is best for America. Surely, yeah. Allah's not America. God not going to bless America. Jesus Christ or whoever, Buddha or nobody, is going to bless America in the direction that we're going. So how
right.
about
so, okay. Thank you, Muhammad. We got your point. We thank you. You did a very good point. And I want to say, too, let's look at the Medina Charter. I'll invite our audience to Google or search Medina Charter and look at how the Prophet designed a platform that could serve a diverse community setting. Because that's the key. How do we live with each other, respect each other, and have rules of engagement that will help us get over the differences, avoid the snares of the differences of our belief, and et cetera, et cetera. How do we live together with each other? And that's something we have to do as well on these platforms. We have to respect everyone's opinion, even though we may not agree with it. But we do have, but everyone has a right to their opinion, and we have to respect that. So let's go to our next caller. Muhammad, appreciate your contribution. Press one, go out. If you want to come back, press one again. Do we have another caller?
914? Yes, sir. 914. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif calling from Mount Vernon, New York. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Muhammad.
Muhammad.
I'd like to say we're at what's that? 10 at our wake up. 9 at our wake up, really. Now we know in the military you're going base to base or overseas or wherever. You start counting down.
Yes,
48, 49, 47, 46. Now wake up. That's the day when you leave. Get on the plane or boat or wherever you leaving. That's the wake up. See, we got about 9 in a wake up. And that wake up will be November 5th, the election. So take Allah in that booth with you or where you're going to vote. Take Allah with you. Make sure you do what's best for yourself and your soul. And just want to say, we don't put all the blame on the church. The church, the mosque, and the synagogue, we are all in this together. We messed up together. Sister was saying, it's the men who have messed up the world, and we know that's a fact. They messed up education, business, culture, and government. Men, not the women. So we just want to make things clear. Thank you for taking my comments this morning.
Thank you, Mom. Appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. All right, Michael. Let's take a break. Let's take a break for the PSA, public service announcement. And don't touch that dial. You're listening to Preparing and Making in the Land of Plenty. And we are talking about the big picture. And, you know, Al-Islam is a broad and huge religious view. But as mentioned in that verse you were reading, Michael, it's an address to all the people. It's all the people invited to their Lord. It's not one religious faith or one religious belief. It talk about the created human family as one creation. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. Are you listening to
AM360? Assalamu alaikum. This is Sakrita Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you, Tanya.
Alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Alhamdulillah. Do we have any other callers, Mike?
Not at this time.
Okay. Professor Rabbani, welcome back. Welcome. We're circling back to you. Share some thoughts with us, if you would.
Well, brother made while I was thinking about, you know, governance and decision-making, and as you said, when Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, made decisions through short of through him, I'm thinking about what people value. What do they put on value of moral life and ethical life? And I was just listening to one of the commentators the other day or last night. I can't recall because I've been listening to different things all time tonight. You know, so there's one commentator that said, "Look, you rush to the defense of the country." In Kiev, the Ukrainians, when the Russians invaded their sovereignty and their borders and started bombing their cities. But nobody rushed to the Palestinians when they dumped almost as much ordnance on Gaza as they dumped ordinances on Hiroshima, and the number of children, homeless, children taking care of children, having no food. The winter time is coming, and they're still dilly-dallying over Hamas and this these fictional people that they have created in the minds of the world. And no one is really coming to their defense or their aid. And when you say something, you have to the announcers and the people in the free press, quote unquote, refuse to even mention it because they fear the loss of their jobs and their positions. When hundreds and thousands of children have been killed and murdered by sophisticated engineered weapons, and they say that they're trying to bring about peace by dropping bombs. This is insane. So when we talking about Al-Islam and establishing right thinking and understanding that this is not going to last, and Allah is going to bring a conclusion to it. We as Muslims and people of faith should all rally to having bring about a stopping of this foolishness and inhumane items that we are always talking about, the great the great America that has, that we have faith in God, God in God we trust. And but we can't see that these people are in dire need. And wintertime is coming. You see the leaves falling on the trees.
Yes.
So it's telling you that all over the world. Now, you have children walking in the streets with their with one child carrying another child to a hospital with no shoes on.
That's being attacked. The hospital being
that's
attacked.
Exactly. So where is the sensitivity? Where's the humanity that we claim we have for only one type of person, but for the innocent, the wayfarers, the orphans, the widows and the widowers, and it doesn't touch us, doesn't move us. Oh, I can't. I was saying to I don't know my daughter. I said, you know, you all, you know, they talk about we're not doing anything as Muslims. We're not. Our community is not developed. Oh, the world is wide open for you to make contributions.
Wide open field.
So we have to do that.
Yes.
You see.
Every individual. Has to make a small, just a small contribution from everyone. Yeah,
exactly.
That's for sure, and it is, and everything you've expressed, it's just so much. And they've created that picture that this is what will happen to you if you oppose or go against what we want. Yes, and they've demonstrated and inspired people, made them resign, et cetera, et cetera. And our leaders, they are so heartless and gutless and cowards, basically, just cowards, you know. And that's the problem. Nobody has the courage in our leadership to stand up. And
just,
that's something.
Just one thing.
This is why we need the new person on this planet. We need the new people on this planet to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Professor. Please.
I was about to say that, you know. Everyone is fearing loss. You saw Shaitan threatens you with loss.
Yeah.
Loss. And Allah said you will lose, all different types of things that, you know, your position, your life. Yeah, even, you know. But he, Allah, is in charge of everything. And the life. What we call life gets better when you do what Allah says do. He is in charge of the affairs of the world.
Yeah, when you leave, how long you stay? Yeah,
exactly.
Not in our hands. It's really not.
So when we opened up this show and you asked and we were referring to progress. Oh, there's so much to do, so much to do. And I like to tell Michael that the food that we put together, the money that we put together for food, reached the orphans in Ethiopia and the cancer kids. I got that message yesterday.
Yeah, so thank you, Professor, for sharing that with us. And Michael, please share some thoughts, if you would.
Thank you. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The Quran gives us a foundation, a secure foundation for our life and our thinking and our behavior. And we have circumstances that challenge the life. And as you mentioned, Imam, Delacy, this idea of loss, you know, this being threatened by loss. And Allah tells us, you know, he's aware of what he has permitted the Shayateen, that is the Satan and those who are with him that think like him. He's permitted them challenge us with laws, but Allah says that he will secure us, and any difficulty that we go through is a way of purification, making our life better in serving our, our assignment, because we all have an assignment to Allah's will and plan, or in Allah's will and plan. We all have an assignment, and we're given the dignity to find it for ourselves. Allah just doesn't say, okay, Michael, this is what I want you to do. No, I have to search myself and see those things that please me and see those things that anger me and frustrate me, and that like this slaughter that's going on in the world. It's touching a lot of people's hearts and their minds, particularly the men of courage are thinking, what strategies, what approaches do I need to do to stop this mess? You know, okay, they don't have any empathy or feelings. So, okay, in the past, we touched them in their pocketbooks. Bull Connors was silenced, or Bull Connors was put into a cage, so to speak, by the business people of Alabama. They said, oh, man, he's messing with the bottom line. We can't continue going like this. You know, the world is looking at us, and those business people that we want to do business with, they're looking at us. We're gonna have to shut you down, Bull Connors.
Yeah.
So, likewise, you know, the Zionist government of Israel can be shut down. We heard the voices of South Africa saying that, you know, this is criminal what these folks are doing in Israel, what this government of Israel is doing. Their own people are protesting against them. You know, it's savage. It's savage behavior that they, you know, they're showing themselves to be devils, really. We have to shut them down. And it's coming. It's coming.
It's coming.
We're going to find ways. We're going to touch the sensitivities of our leaders here in America. Once we get the clear vision of how to shut these leaders down, they're really afraid of being replaced, because they're serving the interests of people that we can't see. They're serving a big pocket and big influential interests that supersede what the government says, what the rules of law says, what the rules of common decency says, and they're afraid to lose their pocketbook money, you know, from these leaders, from these influential people who are behind the scenes, and we're going to have to shut them down. When common people wake up, when common folks wake up and say, okay, they've been gaming us all this time. Every time we think somebody we can depend upon to support our issues comes into government, we vote them in, they find a way to pay money to vote them out. And we've been falling for this game, you know, of these special interests for a long, long time. And it's about time that we mature, sober up, and man up.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael, for sharing that. And that's definitely one thing that we have to do, for proven techniques, that things have been proven to work. We have to look at those. So let's take a PSA break again here to do our duty in regards to our station here. You listen to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. And let me say this about this before we get to the commercial. We need, the station needs our support. It needs our support. So, dear listeners, do a little extra to keep this station moving forward, because we are experiencing blackouts and this and that. So we want you to be aware that we are working to resolve this problem with the not being online, the station dropping. There are some issues in terms of the public, the new owners not having the up to speed with the programming. So we are working on that. Be patient with us. Stay tuned, stay listening, stay chiming in. The program is still ongoing. It's no problem with anything. But give more support to your media. This is your media. That now we'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. So, we are back, and so keep calling in whether we are on air or not. Make sure you call in, because we want to make sure we are keeping our audience actively engaged. And don't be dismayed about any disturbances in the technical aspect of the program. And then we are working very hard to get to the bottom of those issues. Thank you. So, Michael, what time is it? I think you are on mute, too.
Yes, we have 10:27.
All right. So let me point out something here, and we've been talking about the soul. You know, I like to repeat this. I remember the imam making a statement, and he was giving a lecture, and he stopped all of a sudden. He said, "One day I'm going to give a talk about the soul as the reservoir for all of the potential that pours forth from man, from the human person," right? The soul as a reservoir for all of the potential that pours forth from the human being. And, you know, when he said that, it kind of hit me like, wow, this is something. So I started to doing my own personal study of the soul. And, you know, and I first, you know, I went to look at the Quran, where Allah talks about the soul, nafsim wahida, created you from one soul. And then the soul, nafsim amara, commanding soul, amara. That's a word where you get the term amir from, amara. The soul, commanding soul, a part of the soul that's putting a demand on you, so to speak. And then nafsim lawama, the self-accusing soul, where here's a soul that's trying to check this amara with some consciousness. Hey, you shouldn't be doing this. You need to take a second look at this situation here, there. And then we have nafsim mutmainna, the soul at rest in peace. We talked about that earlier. But in Surah Shams, there's a Allah swears by the soul. He swears by Washamsi Waduhaha, the sun in its glorious light, Wakumbari Idad Talaha, the moon as it follows it, when the Hari Idad Jalaha, and the day and its brilliance as it enlightens, right? And then it goes on about the sky and about the night as it shades it, the sky in its broad expanse, and the earth in its broad expanse. By all these material things, and then after the earth, he says, and nefsim wama sawaha, and the soul and its balance, sawa, its order. They say order and perfection, but it's balanced, how Allah has balanced the soul. And now here, this soul is connected again with the material, with the earth. And it's the moon, the sky, everything. This is part of our life that has been now connected with all of this earth, matter. But now here's something that's on a different plane, Nefsim or Masawah, that its soul and its balance, and it and translated its knowledge as to its rights and its wrong. And its Fujuro have or Takwah, its ability to burst forward, to go out, and also to ascend to high and noble ladders of advancement, high levels. So here's a spiritual aspect tied to matter, creation and matter, but separate and having the ability to ascend within its realms, within the realms of the earth and the sky, et cetera, just so on up. It doesn't have any limit to it. And then it says, Kadaflaham man Zekahat, he is successful who spends on it, who cultivates it, you know, and it used the word Zekah as who purifies it, right? So it's talking about purifying the soul, but also spending on it. How do you purify it? By spending some time contemplating, studying, praying, doing the things Allah wants you to do, purifying the soul. And then Wakat Kaba Mandasaha. And he's a failure who neglects to do that. So this, here we have a spirit in the individual that needs to be cultivated, and it needs to be spent on. You got to spend on it. You got to put something in there. You don't. It's not going to happen with you just being docile and come what may, another day, another dollar, whatever. No. You're going to have to spend some time on your soul, your own self, and that's another interesting connection. Nefs in the Quranic language. It talks about that nefs is also you as an individual matter person, and then you as a soul. Nefs is used also for the soul. So it's connected to the matter, but it's also independent, has its own spirit that has to be cultivated and purified. You have to have pure intentions, purification. You have to want to be right, want to be good, want to do the right thing, and then you can build your life, and you can also have your life can be motivated. You can be motivated because now you're spending on your own self and your soul, and again, there's no difference in the nefs in terminology in the Quran for the individual person and that spiritual aspect of the person. So we wanted to share that concept and invite our audience to look at these who may be non-Muslims or new Muslims too. You know, we address new Muslims as well, to look at these concepts of how to improve your life. Islam came to improve the life of the individual, to elevate the potential, your own human potential, to serve and elevate your own human potential. And Allah has given each of us our own individual perspectives, but we also have a collective identity that we all share, and that's in our connection to our one created essence, one essence Allah has created us from. So that being said, Michael, we have any callers in the queue?
Not at this time, Imam, but you really got me fired up. I'm thanking Allah because the patience came over me because I just want to blurt something out.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I wanted to make this connection because, you know, and by the way, Allah is swearing by these things, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's not a, it's not a, Allah, when Allah swears, it's for real. It ain't like we saw, I swear, man, it's that, you know. No. Allah is swearing by his creation and swearing by how he's created us. That is
I
perfect.
I apologize. We do have a recall.
All right. So let's get our recaller, and then we're going to circle back because I want Professor to share some thoughts with us on this as well. You as well, Micah. Thanks.
727. Take your name and where you calling from again.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. Something I'd like to share. Okay, alhamdulillah. In religion, we call it the spiritual sciences, the spiritual science of the human nature and behavior. So from Nefsan Wahida, meaning the single soul, God made two. We have to get away from thinking of Adam and Eve in a material sense as flesh. In Arabic, if I want to say myself, I say Nasi. Your self is Nasuka. His self, Nasuhu. Her self, Nasuha. And then if I were to say Anfusikam, the plural of Nas means the soul. So by the way, Imam, he wanted to get us away from that thinking. I mean, thinking about talking about that with the Adam and Eve thing. He wanted to begin to look at ourselves as male and female as one single soul. And also, I remember reading in that book where they say Hawa, and we say Hawa, and we say Hawa. You say, but in the Quran, there's no such thing as that word Hawa. That's something that came from the Arabic people, just the people, you know, they in the whatever. Yeah. So that's something.
You know, I asked someone about that word Hawa. Yeah. It's called, but you know, there is a saying in the Quran for the desires. It means desires, following your own desires, right? How? And I was trying to figure out the connection. Now, this was my thinking, right? I asked a person of knowledge too. They couldn't answer it. I was trying to figure out the connection of Hawa and Hawa, the wife of Adam. Adam, that's who Hawa is identified as Eve in the biblical language, right? But so I was trying to figure out that connection of the human being, and Allah talks about this particular term, following your own desires. They follow their own desires, right? And but I was trying to figure out the difference in the word, language in the word, because they sounded so similar, and I know there is a difference.
I got it in the book right here. Let me read it right here. Spirituality and spirit. The word Hawa means the habit of following an emotional impulse, moving on the emotional impulse without thinking. It is closely related to the name, but you say Eve in Arabic. But yes, Hawa means the habit of following an emotional impulse, moving an emotional impulse without thinking.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Thank you, Bilal, for that. Appreciate it.
Alhamdulillah.
All right, let's move on. Professor, share some thoughts with us, if you will. Professor, you on mute?
Yeah. When you mention those things, when you mention the soul and how Allah swears by the soul, He's telling you that this is the time to take things serious, and matters of which Allah has already established for the human being, because you're not going to get another opportunity to show your gratitude and to earn the pleasures of Allah other than this life. And then when you talk about the soul and the one soul, I was thinking, I said, well, you know, the human being has 26, I think, chromosomes, and male and 26 female. So that one human being has two parts. So it's easy to understand that in terms. And then he said he scattered mankind. So when people say, oh, it was just one black man in the garden, and then he had to take another rib from the man to make a woman. I said, boy. I said, so I'm saying, Allah is all he says is be and it is, and he's created a soul and he scattered many. So that solved that in my mind. It solved. It's just like a plant when it has a flower, and that flower has seeds in it, and when the wind blows, the spirit. Yeah, exactly. When the spirit, being wind, blows, it scatters them in all parts of the world.
Yeah.
Okay. It's easy for me. Once you when you study biology and you study botany, Allah reveals a lot of these things that are connected with how He formulated scriptures for us to engage our minds into the creation and follow the signs in creation, ayats, so that we don't have any doubts, because Shaitan wants to create doubt in the believer. So that soul, when you said the parts of the soul, Mara and Noama and Nina, these are telling you that when that soul departs the body, the physical body, then it has nothing other than what Allah has put in it for its purpose. That body can bear witness as to what was going on in the body when the soul was there. Bearing witness is having evidence that either you responded, the hand, the feet, the tongue, the eyes, you responded. How did you respond? And so you can't say that you were misjudged or prejudged, or you were wrongfully convicted, because you have evidence. You have elements that will either convict you or exonerate you to the highest level. Yeah. So when you were talking about souls and understanding the soul and how it plays a part in the makeup of the human being, because they always talked about the sun and the moon, the spiritual sciences and the physical sciences, and they start worshiping these.
And Allah takes it all the way through to the earth and its broad expanse,
exactly.
And et cetera. You know that this is matter. Allah has created these things, and alhamdulillah, and the soul has that potential to, like you say, to exceed, to excel, to ascend. Miss that word, ascension. Mm-hmm. Man, that's a nice, mm-hmm. that's a nice connection with us studying the seven steps for the prophet. Ascended. So, Michael, share some thoughts with us as we mellow down here a little bit. And you know, we are talking about increasing the human spirit, the desire to move ahead. You know, and I tell you, I was a little motivated because I attended two janazas. I mentioned earlier on Imam Kareem's program, two janazas this week at our masjid here in Melbourne. One young man, 55 years old, great friend of mine and a friend of the family, Marshawn, pray for, make dua for him. You know, this brother, when I would go away to conferences, sometimes I'd get him to drive us, and then when he got a little ill, he had kidney issues. He got a little ill, he stopped going, but when I would come back, he would debrief me. What did he say, Numa? Did he say, what happened? What happened? I'd have to tell him everything, what happened at the conference, what it was about, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he would be excited to hear it, right? So make dua that Allah reward him, give him a high place in the paradise. And then we had one of our leaders in the community, mother, passed. Very soon. She was maybe could have been in her 90s. But here, young person, old person, as we see it, But so this when Allah calls us, the point I'm making for you young people, don't think you immune from this because you have all this vigor and energy, et cetera, et cetera. No, you have a time. It's already designated. So get as much done as you can with the life. Don't worry about death. Worry about how you live. Live a good life, a productive life, and you will be rewarded for that. Allah will reward you for that. And let Allah decide the matter of when death comes, et cetera, et cetera. Do the things you do to take care of your body, eat well, exercise, do all the good things you're supposed to do, and don't worry about it. I talked to one of my young students, really, and I asked him about death. I said, well, how do you feel about death? He said, devastated. I was devastated. It's devastating. And I had to go ahead with this little pep talk I just gave, you know. Don't worry about death. Worry about how you live. Live, live, live. And, you know, yes, you're going to die. Prophet said, live each day as though you're going to live forever and live each day as if you're going to die tomorrow, right? Or you're going to die today. Even. So live the life completely and let Allah sort out. He's the one. Allah said he gives life and death. It's not in our hands, right? So thank you. Thank you for that, Professor. So, Micah, whose turn? Your turn, Micah. I'm talking a little more today than I normally do. But, Micah, share some thoughts with us, if you will. And,
yeah, and I'm enjoying it. Praise be to Allah. Yeah. Yeah, so, alhamdulillah, bismillah, rahman, rahim. The leadership of Imam Waruthdeen Muhammad has been preserved in writing. And though we may have, many of us are not engaging in what he's left us in terms of a study of how to be more connected with the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, and how to be more connected with our assignment in terms of what we have to offer this world in terms of making this world a better place for human life. It's very challenging, these times that we are in. And I get a little bothered, you know, because I'm hearing all of this kind of immediate references to the political things that are going on, and not enough focus on, like you were saying, you know, the advice of the prophet to live as though we're going to live forever. That requires planning and strategic approaches to the challenges that we have in front of us, but looking ahead to how these things might develop, there's this saying, I want to get out in front of this problem, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's something that this world invites us away from. The Quran invites us to getting out ahead, to be future-oriented, to be future-directed. To look at my decisions being connected with how my future is going to be better tomorrow, what I did today, what I didn't do today, and how that's going to make things better for me tomorrow. And I have to talk myself down, and I have to get with folks like you to remind me, and Professor Rabbani and others to remind me, you know, of this process that we're in.
Yeah.
And how we're getting a little smarter in terms of understanding the schemes of Satan and how he operates and how his cohorts operate. And so this environment that we have in AM360 is very important in that regard, you know, because we need to hear men and women who are inspired. You know, it's not them. You know, Imam Muhammad said, you know, I follow Imam Waruthdeen Muhammad. You know,
yeah.
I said, okay, that's Wallace talking about his leader.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I know nobody want to follow me.
Ah.
Yeah, you know, you better follow the imam in me, right? That's your best out, because I come from the ghettos of New Orleans, Louisiana, right? You don't want to visit there. You don't want
to
visit that place.
That's a rough place to be.
Yes, you don't want to visit there, I'm telling you.
And it's a rough place to come from.
You have to get out of there.
I told you last week.
Yeah. So everybody, share that story with us, what happened to you at the hotel. That quick. Let's humorize just a little bit.
We got 8 minutes.
Yeah, this is a 2-minute story.
It ain't going to take long. I was glad. I went to a conference, convention, American Institute of Architects convention. They had it held in New Orleans. And so I decided to go and find a hotel away from Bourbon Street. So I went to the one that they had renovated. It was an old cotton trading house. And so they renovated it into a boutique hotel, and I thought, and the price was good, and it was only several blocks away from the convention hall. So I decided to go, and I got a room there. So Friday, I always Friday night staying there, and everything was quiet and good. And usually I'm in before sunset, so when Maghrib comes, I'm making salat, so. So I fell asleep, nice rest, get up in the next morning, it's Saturday, and then you see all the people out now, Saturday. You see all the people merrymaking, as they say. And so I said, well, let me go on, when we go to the convention, got the information, come back to the hotel. That night, next to my room, I hear, "Put down the gun, honey. Don't put down the gun. Put down the gun." Oh my God! So I'm in my bed, and the wall, the next room is right next. The wall is I know it's only 4.5 inches because I design walls like that. So what I did, I slid off the bed, down on the floor, and luckily the phone was near the nightstand. So I reached my hand up, grabbed the phone, and called the security at the in the hotel. And like in 5 minutes, they got up and then knocked on that. I told them the room number and everything, and they took those people out, you know, gun and all. I said, "Well, that did it for me, New Orleans. You will never see my brownish rear end."
Yeah.
No,
you didn't tell them about you'd hit the floor, right?
I hit the floor. Yeah, I hit like I was in basic training. You know? I mean, because they were arguing, and somebody had either the girl had the gun or the man had the gun, and. And it was around 2:30 in the morning. They sound like they were high, and I said, "Oh man, what did I do? How did I get in this position? With all of the different things that have happened to me, how did I let myself slip into this position?"
Yeah, not too bad. Nothing happened to bad at that.
I know, but so I got out of there that next day, and never to return to that area. But I understand it. I would go down to Dookie Chase's to get something to eat, but that's it.
Yes, sir. But alhamdulillah, so we wanted to bring that story out. When you told me about how you hit the floor and got to that phone, I said, "Oh, my goodness." But alhamdulillah, thank you for sharing. All right, so dear callers, we appreciate y'all calling in today. We've covered a lot of space here, a lot of territory, but we wanted to emphasize that. Michael, take some time and share some thoughts with us on that need to see the soul, and this is Imam Muhammad's language, as the reservoir for all of the potential in the human being. And that's what we want. You know, when we see motivational speakers, they're trying to get the person to dig down within themselves, and coaches as well, to dig down within their own self and get the best of themselves and bring it forward. And that's what Allah wants from us as well. Go ahead, Michael, share some thoughts.
Yes, it's important to understand that the one who created us will guide us. This is Prophet Ibrahim in the Quran, Prophet Abraham. The one who gave us our humanity, gave us our form and our function, is there. He tells us he's there to guide us. And there's another place in terms of a response, the call and response. The idea that Allah says he hears us all the time. And
yes.
Then he says, but I want you to hear, I'm paraphrasing, but I want you to hear me. I'm calling you all the time. You know? And so I think it's essential
I listen
for
to your
us.
Call, and so those who believe in me that you may prosper, hear my call and believe in me. Yes.
Right. So
yes.
It's important. The need in the soul to call on God is there. And there's always going to be circumstances like the one that Professor was in. I'm sure along with reaching for the phone, he was reaching for Allah's help.
Yeah. Yeah. But
you know
how to call the authorities. I get the people to come in there and get these folks. Yeah.
And he was calling
and
on
you
his Lord.
And you were saving them from
reserve.
Themselves. Yeah. You were saving
he was
them
calling
from
on
themselves.
His Lord.
Yeah,
and
you were helping them, Professor, by having somebody to come and rescue them.
Yeah, I call on my Lord five times a day, so I had it in.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I had put
yes,
in
sir.
The request.
So
yeah.
thank you, thank you, Michael, thank you, Professor, for the fine contribution to this program today, and we hope our listeners will benefit from this, and especially our non-Muslim listeners. I know we have some out there. We invite you always to try some of these concepts of Islam, five praying, fasting, zakah, and the way we talk about it, and Ramadan, fast in the month of Ramadan, fast 30 days, as many as you can, in a spirit of discipline, wanting God to help you be a better person, thinking about it in those lights. And that's what these principles are do for you. They're the oneness of God, the prayer, daily contemplation. And that five prayers gives us the opportunity to escape from terrible circumstances during the day and retreat to a place of solace where we can communicate with our Lord. So, Michael, how much time we got? Take the last bit. And inshallah, we appreciate.
We've got 60 seconds.
Yeah, we appreciate the audience tuning in, being patient with us today, and greetings and blessings. Go ahead, Michael. Close us out.
Oh, Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us, and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge, and none can judge against you, and those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Ameen.
I mean, thank you all for tuning in, and don't forget to hit that blue button on American Muslim 360 or U.S. CWSC.us, and visit that blue button. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.